Weighing Machine was created to help you, the financial advisor or investor, reach your long-term financial goals. Each episode, your hosts, Rusty Vanneman and I, Robin Murray, cut through the market glamour to find the time-tested principles that help investors succeed.
The Weighing Machine is inspired by the classic investing saying attributed to Benjamin Graham. The stock market is a voting machine in the short term and a weighing machine over the long run. In other words, emotion and expectations drive short-term market movement, but fundamentals and valuations determine returns over time.
Welcome to the Weighing Machine.
Enjoy, and as always, let us know what you think.
On the podcast today, we are officially in a bear market. What does it mean for the markets, and how should investors respond?
We will also take a deep dive into real estate investment trust. What is the outlook for REITs, and why do they matter now? That's with our guest, Matt Werner, Portfolio Manager at Chilton Capital Management. Welcome to the Weighing Machine. I'm Rusty Vanneman.
And I'm Robin Murray. Okay, let's start with a look at the markets. As of June 14th, we're officially in a bear market. So tell us, what's your advice for investors, and how long do you think before it starts to turn around?
In terms of bear markets, I do have a couple different stats here from the investment firm Strategus, just sort of kind of the average bear market. On average, they do last a little less than 2 years, 20 months on average. The average decline is 40%. This year's correction has already kind of exceeded the intra-year average drawdown of about 20% you see in midterm election years. You know, things just move faster now. I would say that the outlook for the end of the year should be pretty positive. We'll be past sort of the negative seasonal factors that are in play. We'll be on the other side of kind of the negative midterm election cycle. Usually the market's pretty weak during midterm election years until sort of we approach that election. Hopefully we'll also be past peak inflation. I think those headwinds will become tailwinds. Now, that said, inflation will likely remain higher, even if we do get the peak. We just probably won't be at 8 or 9%, but we'll surely be above the Fed's long-term target of 2%. Multiple reasons for this, but a big reason, a big component of a lot of the inflation indices is really how real estate prices and rents factor into it. But this podcast is not about inflation, but it's about real estate, and especially commercial real estate and real estate investment trusts, otherwise known as REITs.
All right. Well, let's bring in our guest. Matt Werner is Managing Director and Portfolio Manager at Chilton Capital Management in Houston, Texas. Matt, welcome to the Weighing Machine.
Thanks, Robin. Hey, Rusty. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you've kept us in suspense. We've already given you kind of the heads up, but what is your walk-up song? You know, probably the toughest question here you're going to get all afternoon, but what is that song we can hear?
You know, there's a couple different ways I could have gone with this one. I got to give a shout out to my favorite band, Phish, with a PH, and they have a song called Tweezer Reprise that really, I think, would help get everyone pumped up, specifically myself, to walk up, be it to go to bat in a baseball game or in this case, talk about REITs. So
nice.
I think it'd be perfect for this.
Our first Phish song for the playlist, which I think is up to nearly 70 songs now. And I know that's going to make some people in the office here pretty happy. So good selection.
All right. Well, Matt, you have a bachelor's degree in finance from Boston College, and then you spent 5 years at Salient and are now managing director and portfolio manager specializing in REITs at Chilton. So tell us more about your career and the work that you do at Chilton.
Right. Yeah. So I've wanted to do finance for a long time, really just had a big interest in it in college and majored in finance and wanted to be picking stocks. And that was about all I knew. Was able to come back to Houston and get a job at Salient, as you mentioned. And when I was there, I met a guy named Bruce Garrison, who's now my co-manager on the strategy, who just coincidentally had really been on the ground floor of the what we call the modern REIT era, or basically when real estate was mostly owned by private companies and decided to list to go public in the early 1990s. As a result of the recession that happened then and the blow up of S&L banks and them needing money. So he was helping them go public, move back to Houston and was managing REITs. I didn't know what a REIT was, didn't really care, kind of didn't sound as sexy as picking, you know, Google, or back then, I guess it was BlackBerry was a hot stock, and was tasked with doing due diligence on private equity and hedge funds and real estate, and just kind of adopted him as my mentor while he was doing the REITs. And we really got along great, learned a ton from him. And all the while, 08, 09 happens. all of a sudden these private equity funds and hedge funds were, they weren't blowing up, but if you can remember, it was really tough times in the capital markets. And REITs were really the first one to be able to kind of break through the capital barrier, and they were able to raise debt and equity, albeit at very dilutive prices. And it just kind of set a light off in my head that, hey, this is a really cool way that I can apply some knowledge that I learned in real estate, although looking back, I knew very little, and apply my sort of affinity for doing analysis of securities. And in this case, it was with REITs. And from an investment point of view, you know, seeing that there was these hedge fund managers and private equity, you know, it was the general partners that made a lot of money, and the limited partners were the ones that got kind of screwed in the 08-09 period on the private side. It just seemed like a much cleaner way to invest in real estate. And that was kind of when I made the decision of what I wanted to do with my career, and really haven't looked back since. And it's been a great ride, albeit with some bumps as we're going through right now, but it's been very fulfilling, and I still continue to believe it is the best way to invest in commercial real estate, and that all investors should consider having REITs in their portfolio.
Awesome. We'll dive into a lot more about REITs here, but could you first explain or tell us more about the investment strategy you manage at Chilton, and what makes it different from other strategies that focus on REITs?
Right. Yeah. REITs are not so much a big secret anymore. They've actually been around since 1960. And as you can imagine, when there's a good thing, people like to overdo it. And so there's ETFs and mutual funds, and I mentioned hedge funds before, they can go long, short. There's even within where we are a long only strategy, there are some that you would call kind of the core plus, where they may own, you know, half of the securities in the benchmark. I would consider ourselves very much a concentrated REIT manager and a very active REIT manager in terms of being different from the benchmark. We really pride ourselves in our contrarian approach to investing, and forcing ourselves to have high enough conviction in each name that we invest in, such that it's not going to be a 0.23% position, but instead, you know, our minimum position is really 2%, and we have some that can be up to almost 10% or more if we, you know, believe that it's, you know, the best place to be. And obviously, we're mindful of risk, of course, but we think we can be pretty judicious with risk at 25 or 26 securities. There's about 150 REITs, and it historically has been able to produce a track record of returns above the benchmark, even in tough times like we're going through now, actually, especially in times like this.
All right, well, let's dive more into REITs and how they work. So these are real estate investment trusts. Can you explain more about what they are and how they work for listeners who might not be familiar?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, first I want to dispel, you know, the word REIT can imply multiple things too. There is part of the industry that is a private REIT. So I mentioned REITs were established in 1960, and basically a REIT is just a way a company can file its taxes to avoid any corporate income tax. And there's other requirements to go along with it, of course, but that was the main benefit. And being public is just one way to have a REIT. You can have a private REIT. And there's been REITs that do just mortgages, and then REITs that do mortgages and equity. We focus specifically on publicly traded equity REITs. So again, very different. I imagine there could be some listeners that have invested in private REITs before, which have a pretty checkered past. And so I just always like to clarify that, you know, these publicly traded companies are on the New York Stock Exchange, they're on the NASDAQ, they trade just like Apple and Exxon, and have the same amount of scrutiny from the SEC, and in this case, you know, institutional investors like ourselves that demand, you know, quarterly conference calls. There's conferences where we can meet with the CEOs, and they have tons of disclosures, and they are not run like private companies where maybe there's conflicts of interest from multiple entities that could own the same, you know, assets going between them, or the investor just tends to not get the best performance from those private REITs. And so we are specifically on the public side, and I think the public REITs will continue to show their superiority for investing for individuals as we go along and kind of grow their share of the pie, which admittedly has been growing rather slow, but still making headway. And, you know, even as of 20 years ago, there was not a REIT in the S&P 500. I think there's about 30 today. It comprises about 2.5% of the index. So, you know, they obviously have gained quite a bit of headway.
So, particularly given today's market environment, why should advisors and investors consider investing in REITs?
You know, I always hesitate to say for timing purposes, and I don't like to make short-term predictions. So first and foremost, I think people should be invested in REITs all the time and really every investor, regardless of your time horizon, unless it's a month or something. But today, I think it's especially important. There's probably some keywords that you may have heard on TV, like inflation, that we really hadn't seen since the early 1980s. And real estate, and so even it makes, as I mentioned, the dawn of the modern REIT era wasn't until the early 1990s. And so we don't really have that much great data on how commercial real estate should and will do or has done in these times. But looking back and just thinking logically, residential real estate has done well in times of inflation. And I think just thinking logically, you could apply that to something like multifamily or single family rentals, that inflation should help on that top line growth for rent. And then REITs have very high operating margins. So unlike a company that may have thousands of employees, REITs really have very few employees. And so labor is not a big issue. The biggest expenses for a REIT are usually property taxes and insurance. They do have some on-site personnel and leasing teams, to be sure. And there's general administrative costs for corporate headquarters, but in general, operating margins are high. And so inflationary times, growing top-line revenue is a very good place to be if you think we're going to continue to have inflation. And yield. There's been tough to find places to get yield. REITs have been historically a great place to get a yield that grows. And I would argue today, the REIT dividend yield is about the safest that it's ever been. We have the lowest payout ratio in history. We look at payout ratios as a percent of their cash flow, and it's less than 70% for the first time ever. So not only is the yield very safe, it also portends for some very nice growth going forward.
So what guidance can you offer investors how much to allocate to REITs? I mean, what are sort of the typical allocations you see either institutional investors have to REITs or individual investors have? Any rules of thumb to consider?
Yeah, it's all over the place. I think if you, you know, really want to get academic with it, you know, most recommend an allocation between 5 and 20% depending on income needs. We have some clients that maybe made a lot of money in real estate. They really understand it. And, you know, if someone said to us, hey, I want to put 40 or 50% of my net worth in REITs, you know, you could make an argument. It's not really over leveraging yourself if you take the view that REITs can kind of be a look through to the whole economy. So, for example, if you owned an office building leased to Facebook, that's kind of like the same thing as having a tech exposure, because that office building is getting the benefit of the credit of that of Facebook as, or Meta, I guess they changed their name, is the tenant there. And you could similarly say, you know, that the growth in the job market as a result of, called it, you know, the Bitcoin industry in Miami is going to benefit apartments and rents in Miami or self-storage prices. And so we, you know, of course, don't go recommending a 50% allocation to everyone. But if someone comes to us and says, you know, that that's what they wanted, I hesitate in saying that that is a completely terrible thing to do because of that look through to the actual tenants of the REITs.
Well, as you mentioned, we are now in a bear market. So I want to ask about how those market conditions impact real estate investing. But before we do, what's your take on the macro economy at the moment? We're risk on, we've got inflation, interest rates, recession. How are you expecting the next few months to unfold?
Very difficult to project. I mean, there's just a lot of uncertainty right now. In times like this, the things that tend to do well are ones with the least uncertainty. So those would be less cyclical names. So I would look at cell towers and data centers and industrial REITs, for example, that are, have warehouses and their occupancies at an all-time high. So those tend to do a little bit better. I would say, though, that all the fundamentals are looking great. We just had a conference, first in-person conference, by the way, since pre-COVID, and fundamentals look great across the board. It's really just a matter of finding what that right multiple should be for REIT's earnings. And the market is really struggling to figure out what that's going to be. It doesn't know where interest rates are going to settle in. And that all is going to go back to those ever important inflation reports. And so I think we're in for a lot of volatility this summer and for the next few months until we start to see that CPI decelerate. I think that would be the first kind of good sign. And then we would need to get some more commentary from the Fed on, you know, any changes in their outlook on interest rate increases. Because if you look at where the 2-year yield moved so quickly, incorporating so many Fed rate increases or Fed funds rate increases, it really, you know, baked in as much as possible for this year. And that's certainly a possibility still. But I think if the Fed can demonstrate it can get inflation under control, maybe it doesn't have to be so swift and so quickly, and the 10-year can start to move. And we saw that this week, it declined by almost 50 basis points. My job sometimes can be reduced to, hey, if interest rates are going up, that means REITs can go down and vice versa. And it's obviously much more complicated than that. But in times like this, it is kind of the biggest deal until we can find an area to stabilize at. And just, it's kind of like, hey, just let us know where that long-term interest rate is going to be. These real estate, these REITs are, you know, the best in the business at what they do. And just they need some more certainty to operate their business. And the investors like ourselves need some more certainty to go and say, okay, this is the multiple that I feel comfortable putting on this stock.
Let's break down the REIT universe in a couple different segments here. So first of all, what is your outlook for commercial properties? I know there's a lot of different kinds of commercial properties, but what is your general thinking?
So commercial meaning like office and retail or yeah. Just... So yeah, we are not very keen on office right now. We have not been for a while. It's one that is having some secular growth issues just with people working from home. And I think that it's not going to go away. And it's really just giving landlords very little pricing power with their tenants. I do think the Class A buildings will be okay, but I don't think that the market has properly revalued those properties today. And so we currently hold no office REITs. It's about 10% of the benchmark. So one of our bigger underweights. Retail is very interesting. So we don't own any malls, but we are pretty keen on the outdoor shopping centers for a couple of reasons. And today's actually what's going on is pretty interesting. You know, these companies really overinvested in their e-commerce business during COVID, which was great for warehouse REITs. But on the brick and mortar retail side, they underinvested in their stores and their store counts, and they really slowed their opening plans in the past few years. And now where the market is saying we want to see profit from these, from everyone, including retailers, the store is actually their most profitable way, a profitable place for sales. And so you can imagine, you know, delivering 20 containers of soap to 20 different houses versus just, you know, doing it to one store. You're saving money on the labor and the gas that it takes to go and do those deliveries. And then, you know, there's a massive return rate that, of things that get delivered as well that really just eats into the retailer's profits. And so we think that outdoor retail is priced pretty attractively. The other phenomenon that's going on right now is it's just a nature of the business. There's always a pretty large difference between leased and occupied. And so even though the market may be taking a view on retail and saying this is going to be hurt in a recession, these retail REITs are going to be having increasing net operating income over the next year, just based on looking at them closing the gap between the leases that have been signed but have not yet occupied. And so we think there's more upside for earnings for them as well.
You know, I've just had two different questions in the last 24 hours, and I was invited to speak to somebody's investment committee next Tuesday. And I know there's only two REITs that really kind of play this, or at least only two that I'm aware of. But do you have a view on farmland REITs?
No, we looked at it a while back. From my assessment at the time, the REIT, the one that I looked at, did not have a cost of capital that was low enough to go out and make accretive acquisitions. And it looked like it was going to be difficult to grow. I think it's since recovered a bit, but would not consider myself an expert at it.
Okay. Well, I know another very common question, of course, is in residential. And I know you don't talk about like people's individual homes, but you will have a view on like multifamily, you know, rentals, mobile home parks. What is your take on sort of those sectors?
We love those sectors. Those are some of our biggest overweights in our portfolio today. I mentioned earlier that they are kind of the most obvious beneficiaries of inflation and what's happening with mortgage rates today is making that rent versus own decision tilt much more in the favor of renting. And so we see demand increasing there. So they've actually sold off some of the most over the past few months, and we don't think that that is correct. And we think the market is taking an overly punitive view of what's going to happen with their earnings. And if you're just willing to look out another year, you know, some of these REITs are increasing the rents by up to 20% on renewing tenants or on new tenants to the same space. And you flow that through for a year, and even if market rents come down a little bit, again, their earnings have to go up. And we really think that this housing shortage in our country is not, you know, this is even worse for that, having, you know, construction costs have gone up significantly, and now mortgage rates making it difficult for people to afford the homes, and home builders are not going to build more homes. And so people have to live somewhere. Mobile homes have long been sort of a one way, or really in the public market, the only way to play public housing, I mean, affordable housing. And we think that it's been sort of a misunderstood asset class, and will continue to put up great results. So, you know, across the board, we love residential. Single family homes for rent have been our new sector in the past 6 or 7 years. And that's a big overweight for us too, for the same reasons.
All right, well, let's switch gears here to some of our favorite questions on the show that we like to ask our guests. First, from your professional money manager experience, how do you invest personally, and how much does that differ, if at all, from how you manage money professionally?
Well, we are lucky enough here at Chilton. Our firm is about $2 billion in assets, and we've got a group that focuses on stocks outside of REITs. And so they have good analysis, and I tend to pick a few from there for my personal portfolio, as well as the REITs that I know well. And I would say it differs only in my capital constraints of, you know, being somewhat young in my life, and the fact that I do make a lot of my compensation is in the form of REITs. And so I try and diversify away from that. But in general, I, you know, like to invest alongside our clients as much as possible. That includes our REIT clients, as well as clients on our, you know, more a traditional equity side.
Well, here's another common question, or a favorite question we like to ask, and that is, in our profession, we all have an obligation to perform at a high level. So what do you do to maintain your health or your wellness, both physical and mental, to ensure you're performing at a high level?
That is a great question. That's one I continue to hone my own productivity and kind of learning about myself as I get older. You know, I used to think that as long as I put, you know, the more hours I put into working, the better I would be at working. And I think I've learned about myself about, you know, just keeping your mind active and different things can actually make you more productive in your time spent. And so I really enjoy, I mean, as, and I was forced to, you know, having a family now in the past, you know, 8 years, having kids, you know, letting your mind be focused on being a parent. So enjoying out, you know, outside activities with them, you know, making sure I exercise. I definitely noticed, you know, when we first had the COVID shutdown or whatever, it was, you know, I didn't exercise for a couple weeks, and it was hard to figure out. Felt like I was in a little funk, but I wasn't sure what it was. And then, you know, got back into routine. And so definitely exercising, diversifying activities away from just staring at an Excel spreadsheet all day. But one thing I, you know, about my job though, specifically that I really like with REITs in general, is that we have so many property types. And so I can, you know, come in the office and look at apartment REITs one day, and, you know, maybe I'll be burnt out on them that day, and I'll look at strip centers the next day. And so I do enjoy that flexibility. And maybe one day I'm doing research and the next I'm doing marketing, or one day's talking and next day's writing. And so I think it's very helpful to make sure you're not saying, hey, I'm going to lock myself in the office and do the same thing and think that it's going to be the best outcome.
Okay, Steph, well, before we let you go, let's get some content recommendations for our listeners. Are there any books, newsletters, podcasts, anything like that that you can recommend for advisors and investors?
Hopefully is a popular one, but I'm a huge fan of Howard Marks. Anything that he's on, anything he writes, sometimes he hops on other people's podcasts. Yeah, I would be a fan of. I think he's just one of the best in financial minds out there. He actually was on a podcast, I think it was called Invest Like the Best, and I discovered that because of him and have been focusing and listening to that. Jeremy Grantham is another one I think is a really good just sort of thinker about the economy and just investing. And so, you know, if there are others out there that are not reading those two guys, certainly I would encourage it.
Good stuff.
Great tips.
Yeah. All right. Well, Matt, thanks so much for coming on the show, and tell us how can listeners stay in touch and learn more about what you're doing at Chilton.
Yeah, we have our own website at chiltonreit.com. It's going to have all of our monthly write-ups. We call them the Chilton REIT Outlook. It goes back to 2011. So there's probably 135 of those or so on there. Got covers every property type and topic you could think of, and even has a little REITs 101 section to give you an idea of what REITs are. And of course, reach out to anybody that you can find on there for our interest in opening an account. We'd love to have a new client.
Well, Matt, thanks again for your time. I do have one more question. So we are recording this on a Friday afternoon, and I also haven't had lunch today. So since you're a Boston guy for a while, and I was too, I have a question. What was your favorite pizza in Boston? Because I'm starving. I want to talk about pizza.
Oh,
did
gosh.
You have a favorite restaurant or pizza in Boston?
There's a big debate over at Boston College between Pino's and Presto's. And I would say that I was a Pino's guy for freshman and sophomore year, and I finished a Presto's guy. So
for the more mature palate, you know, that's great. I remember those names. Personally, my favorite Boston pizza is, you got to go in the North End, the Italian neighborhood. You got to go in those back streets and you go to Pizzeria Regina. And in fact, I know Boston's a seafood town, but if there's only one restaurant I could go to ever in the rest of my life, that is the restaurant I would pick.
Wow.
Pizzeria Regina. Anyway.
Hit it up.
Awesome. Now I'm really hungry.
Me too.
Anyway, well, thanks again, Matt.
Thank you, Rusty and Robin. Appreciate it.
No problem. All right. Well, that is going to do it for this week. Rusty, take us out with your final words.
Invest well and be well.
We'll be back soon. Thanks for listening to The Weighing Machine. And thank you for your time and trust in Orion Advisor Solutions. The Weighing Machine is hosted by Rusty Vanneman, Chief Investment Strategist at Orion Advisor Solutions, and me, Robin Murray, freelance writer and editor. If you have feedback or questions about our podcast today, please send us a note at rusty@orion.com. All opinions expressed by Rusty Vanneman and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and don't reflect the opinion of or endorsement by Orion, its affiliate subsidiaries, and its employees. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for legal, tax, and investment decisions. The opinions are based upon information the participants consider reliable.